Gospel according to St. Mark, the 12th chapter. As Jesus taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes, who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at the banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for the sake of appearances say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation. He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, 'Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, and all she had to live on.'" The Gospel of the Lord. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. And that was condemnation, not commendation. Brothers and sisters, extreme times call for extreme measures. Webster defines the word extreme as an adjective. Its root from the Latin extremis, meaning being on the outside. In modern usage, it means in a very high degree or the furthest possible from the center, or describes an activity that involves an unusually high degree of risk. This week was one of extreme tragedy here in Buffalo and throughout the country. Was Major Nidal Milak Hassan's murderous rampage at Fort Hood, which he began by declaring God is great, an act of radical Muslim extremism or extreme mental illness, or both, or neither? Did the disgruntled former employee of an Orlando, Florida engineering firm, Jason Rodriguez, who entered his old office and opened fire on his former co-workers, killing one person and wounding five others, believe that his actions to be an extreme form of vigilante justice, that he was only righting a wrong that was done to him? Did Victor Shapiro, before going through a stop sign at the intersection of County and Strickler Roads at 90 miles an hour in Clarence, crashing into another vehicle, resulting in the death of himself and three other beautiful children of God, believe that driving in an automobile on ordinary roads at high rates of speed to be a kind of extreme sport? Well, if extreme times call for extreme measures, how would we, or could we, or should we respond to these and other disturbing realities as people of faith? Where does God's word point us today? Today, our reading from the lectionary in 1 Kings is expanded greatly, the whole chapter, right, Jeff? In this chapter, we discover Elijah on the run. He had confronted King Ahab and his new Baal-worshipping queen Jezebel. He predicted a drought and became Samaria's most wanted prophet. At this time of extreme danger, the word of the Lord comes to Elijah and told him to journey to the Cherith Brook before the Jordan. And told him that ravens would bring him bread and meat morning and night. Now, ravens are scavengers, so I imagine Elijah feasted on some yummy victuals. But extreme times call for extreme measures. When the brook dried up, the word of the Lord came to Elijah again in his extreme distress and sent him to the ancient Phoenician city of Zarephath, or in Greek, Sarepta. Both of these words, the Hebrew and the Greek, mean smelting. Smelting was a process by which metals were purified. It is fitting, therefore, that Elijah went to this city with this name, for it is here where Elijah's own faith would be refined. God instructs Elijah that a widow had been commanded to feed him. And upon reaching the city, he meets a widow who is not an Israelite and who is not well provisioned at all. She is despairing, and she informs the prophet that she was just getting ready to prepare her and her son's last supper. Elijah, bold in faith, instructs the woman to bring him water and make a cake for him first before she feeds herself and her boy. And Elijah says that God says that her meal in the jar and her oil in the cruet will not deplete until the rains come. And by the way, that will be in a few years. But in an act of extreme hospitality and extreme faith, she complies. Extreme times call for extreme measures. But what happens next in the story is a table turner. And while Elijah's faith must have been strengthened day by day, as the bread kept a-coming, all of a sudden the widow's son falls ill and dies. Elijah did not predict this, and the widow, extremely distraught, believes that God is punishing her for past sins, and she pleads with Elijah. Elijah, in turn, takes her child from her arms and lays him down on his own bed and cries out to God with a visceral cry. Oh God, have you brought this tragedy on this widow, causing her son to die? You can feel Elijah's honest struggle with his own faith in his words. He is in pain too, because this boy is no stranger, no foreigner, and neither is the widow, not anymore. They are intimately connected in the kind of relationship that a survival situation seems to foster. They were family now. And they were all broken, if one was broken. All of a sudden, in an extreme act of faith and in complete reliance on God alone, Elijah stretches himself out over the boy three times, and each time he cried, "Oh God, let this boy's life breath come back into him." And the boy revived, and the prophet delivered him to his mom, who declared her faith in God, the God of Israel. Extreme times call for extreme measures. Fueled by these extreme faith-building experiences and grounded in a total reliance on God's abundant mercy, God's word tells Elijah to go now to Ahab, even though he's a wanted man. And he does so boldly, without fear or reservation. And it is there that he takes on 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah, single-handedly defeating them, and announces the end of the three-year drought. The story of Elijah and the widow is one of extreme hospitality and extreme faith, tempered by extreme honesty and boldness. In the gospel this morning, we meet another widow that Jesus is watching among the crowd in the treasury of the temple. She gives but two small copper coins, and Jesus reveals that her gift was an example of extreme stewardship, and therefore a sign of her extreme faith. She gave everything that she had. If we witness someone do likewise today, what would we say? Would we not call that person extremely foolish? And why? If we do dismiss this kind of giving as irresponsible behavior, don't we conveniently lower the bar for ourselves? What would happen if we dared to give out of our poverty instead of our abundance? Instead of giving what we have left over, giving from our principle, our core, our nest egg. Besides, Jesus had just finished saying that much of the religious elites, the ones running the business of the institution, were hypocrites. So giving all of her money to the treasury would just give them more to mismanage, right? Again, Jesus, while critical of hypocrisy, never indicates that this widow's extreme stewardship was wasted. Not even a mite of it. Rather, it is a source of blessing for her and for all those who noticed. Would that not be true also for us? Extreme times call for extreme measures. On the day after the announcement that Extreme Makeover, Home Edition, has selected the home of Jamaican immigrant Dolores Powell, mother of seven who resides on the west side of Buffalo, to receive a home makeover this week, we might want to think about an extreme makeover of our own. Not a makeover that employs plastic surgeons and fashion experts or architects and home improvement specialists, but a makeover that draws us closer in relationship to God and to each other. A makeover that drives us to extreme hospitality, as we recall the extreme hospitality our Lord has shown us in inviting us to the waters of baptism. We who were destined for destruction because of our sin and our rebellious nature have been forgiven and washed clean of our sins. And today, as a congregation, we are privileged with the opportunity to practice some radical hospitality, baptismal hospitality, to some foreigners from Texas, Katy, Texas. Justin O'Donnell was the husband of Sarah O'Donnell and the father of Haley Marie and Brandon Paul O'Donnell. All three who will receive the sacrament of holy baptism here today at Holy Trinity. When Haley and Brandon were born, Justin and Sarah, like many young parents, were motivated to look for a church home. But then Justin's health started to fail, and their collective dreams of being baptized together as a family seemed to be in jeopardy. In fact, after a long, hard fight and many hospitalizations, Justin finally succumbed to heart failure. Sarah said that Justin was concerned during his illness that he was not baptized. But at the end of his earthly life, a peace visited him and an assurance came over him. He knew he was going to be okay, that God was going to care for him. After his departure from this life to the next, Sarah was going through some of Justin's papers, and behold, she came across this piece of paper. It is a baptismal certificate certifying that Justin Paul O'Donnell was baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit on August 13, 1978, at Holy Trinity Lutheran Church, Buffalo, New York, signed Matt Winters, pastor. Justin didn't know the promise that God extended to him. But God knows. Justin, a beloved child of God, was the recipient of the greatest promise of all. He was the target of extreme grace. And today, he and Sarah's original dream of being baptized together has come true. In the same font, in front of the same assembly of believers, here at Holy Trinity, where God's extreme grace is preached, proclaimed, and practiced, along with two other beloved children of God in the congregation. Brothers and sisters, we who hunger and thirst for relationship with God are called by God to radical hospitality, to dine at our Lord's holy altar, and to partake in the very essence of love and hospitality, the body and blood of Christ. We might need an extreme makeover that incites us to be extreme stewards, giving more of ourselves as we recall that our Lord Jesus did not withhold any of his being from us. As the author of Hebrews reminds us today in the epistle, he has appeared to remove sin by the sacrifice of himself. Today, we all, the whole congregation, will reaffirm our own baptism as we extend the sacrament to McCartney Rose, Chase Thomas, Sarah Marie, Haley Marie, and Brandon Paul. They will be marked with the cross of Christ and sealed by the Holy Spirit forever, just as we have been, just as Justin has been. And then we will come and receive Holy Communion, taking our Lord into ourselves, being fed by God's own hand. Maybe we do not need remaking or remodeling, just some awakening. We need to remember that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God, the God that feeds the widow, that welcomes the stranger, who brings out the best in his children, and who even raises the dead. Extreme times call for extreme measures. And our Almighty God has gone to some extreme measures to secure our fate and calls us to do this, to do the same. To bring love and peace to the rest of God's children, even when times appear hopeless. Especially when times appear hopeless. With God's help, there is no doubt that we can do it, and we will do it. So let's do it. Amen.